Believing and disbelieving are of the mind, so is the body-mind materialized. I came that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. If we are caught up in emotional reaction, there is no understanding. Emotional reaction arises from fear, hope, or despair. Whether it be religious revival that promises a heaven or a hell or any other kind of craving. We must realize that these things merely condition us and there is no creative understanding. These conditions are brought about by the human mind and have nothing to do with the creativeness of man, which is divine and alone creative. Man has lost sight of his true creativeness because he is caught up in his emotional reactions. Now his emotional reactions, as you will see, that the thought is a self and the self is the thought. But what did he do? You put your thought over there and you look at it and you say, you judge it and so forth, and you don't want to claim it because you don't like it. But really, that's the self. Otherwise, your thought and yourself is not separated, although you think it is. You're trying to see your thoughts separate from yourself and look at your thought as something that is ugly, yet you do not know that it is the self. But immediately you see that the thought and the self are the same, the whole thing falls away because you know what is the self. The self can't exist in reality. The self is your memories, your thoughts, your experiences, what you've learned, what you've made up in the mind, your thoughts, feeling reactions, all that is the self. You make up that, that's made by you. But you don't make reality. Reality is. Now when Jesus went into the wilderness, he clearly saw the self, and he called the self Satan. Get you behind me, Satan, because the self is always in front. And when he saw all the self and his thoughts and all that was relative, then there was God, complete in itself. He didn't have to create the Father. The Father was. And when the self was removed, the Father was there all the time. Therefore, Jesus recognized at once that he was the Son of God. It couldn't be anything else. When the self is removed, there is the creativeness. There is reality. Now, if you look at the self, you'll see what it's made up of. But you don't like it because you would like yourself to be something different than what you really are. But when you know your thoughts and so forth, you will see that they are the same as nearly every other person. We take, for instance, a so-called religious person who thinks that he's very religious and he's spiritual. That's why he doesn't discern his thoughts. He doesn't know that his thoughts and he are one. But his thoughts are the same as you or anybody else's thoughts. How do they arise? They arise from his experiences, from his thought-killing reactions, his memories. That's what his thoughts arise from. And that's the self. Look and you'll find that the self is nothing more than a bundle of reaction, a bundle of conditioning. But the reality is none of these. The reality is beyond mind, beyond all that you ever created in your mind. Therefore you cannot create reality. You only can create an idea of reality which is false, just as the word God is not God. The freedom comes immediately you mean he. That your thoughts and the self is one, and you will find that everybody else is thinking the same way as yourself, having the same thoughts, the same emotional reactions. You're all struggling because you're lost in the self. Jesus gives us the example, and I know that it's true. Those 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness was the greatest thing in his life. because he discerned everything that was false. And when he found all these things were false, then there was the true, there was the real, it was the creativeness, the Father that ever remaineth within me is performing his own deeds. But what is it that covers up all this? What is it that's preventing the expression of this reality? Conditions itself, beliefs, antagonism, its nationality, its clubs, its society, its organized religions, its politics, and all these things that the self has caught up in. Remove the self, and you have the real. People are craving, they're praying. Now, what is prayer? You only pray when you want something. You only pray when you're in trouble. You only pray when you're in doubt. And what is your prayer? It's really a mental thing. It isn't spiritual at all. Your emotional reaction, you say, oh, Father in heaven. And it's an idea, is it not? And so you pray. Naturally, if you pray sincerely, you will really get what you pray for. But Jesus said, when you pray, believe you have received it, and you shall have it. That's what he said. He put it aside. When you pray, believe you have received it, and you shall have it. Naturally, if you pray properly, you will get what you pray for. But you will know that prayer is not reality. What is reality? Proper prayer, a real prayer, is dissolving the self, understanding the self, so that the self moves away. And there is reality, there is prayer, so that the real comes into being. That is real prayer. A real prayer is real meditation. But your meditation is meditating upon an idea to the exclusion of all other ideas. Through meditation, the discerning that which is false, so that you are cleansing and eliminating from the mind the things that are hindering the expression of the truth. You do not create the truth, just as you do not create the law of mathematics, but you work with it. You do not create truth, but it is. Jesus had the answer all the time. It was the Father, whoever remaineth within me. And when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, he did not mean the outer self. He meant that whole expression of his body, because no one created the body except life, and life was in the body, and therefore the only power the body has was life. And not one particle of the body has any power of its own. Not the smallest particle of the body has any power of its own. But you give it power. Why did you give it power? Because through sensation. You have sensations. And in these sensations, the body is talking back. But why is the body talking back? First of all, it was you that created those sensations in the first place. When you are healthy and free, you don't bother about your health, do you? It's only when you're unhealthy that you struggle, is it not? So Jesus saw clearly that he and the Father were one, and the body was the temple of the living God. And in that way he recognized that he and the Father were one, not as an idea of the fact, but a living expression of it, because an idea of it would be of no value to him. Why are you afraid to die? If you knew life, you wouldn't be afraid to die. But because you don't know life, you're afraid of death. But death and life are the same thing. The moment is past, is dead. The moment that is now is life. And when you live in the present, you will know life. And when the mind is cleansed of the past and the future, hope and despair, then you will know nothingness. You will be alive. But it's because you live in the past and live in the future, you're afraid of death. Because you don't know life, you don't know now, you don't know the nothingness. Oh, if I could only give you this clearly. But I can't give you an idea of it, because to give you an idea would only spoil the whole thing. But if you listen to me, you will find through your listening, there will be transformation. If you try to make an idea of what I say, there will be no transformation, because it will still be in your mind. What I'm trying to do is to eliminate from the mind the things that are preventing the expression of reality. And you do not create transformation. You don't transform yourself. You don't. What happens is, once you recognize, once you realize and see what the self is, and you see your own thoughts, and know that the thought and the self cannot be separated, and you discern your thoughts as they arise, living in the present, because it's always the past that is rising up in the present, is it not? Your memories, your experiences. And if you discern these things in the present, you will find to be aware of them in the present, they will fall away. But if you are caught up in them, and you will know when you are caught up in them, because you have your emotional reaction. There is no emotional reaction when you are not caught up in your experiences, in your memories, the past and the future. Some live in hope, others in despair. When we see these two impostors are the same, we will drop them. Is it not a fact that we are influenced by our experiences, our memories? We hope for the future, we despair for the future because of the past. This state is not living because we make the future and the past more important than the living, creative, present now. That can only be known in the present, not in the past or the future, which is of the mind. We create our own conditioning when we begin to struggle, whether it be in the body, mind, or circumstances. We all arise in the conditioned self, and so we fail to see our own creations and thereby intensify the error. For we create the thought, then we fear the thought. We intensify the error. But if you see that the thought in yourself is one, if the self and the thought is the same, you'll not fear it any longer, because you will know it will drop away, the fear will pass from you. What is your thought now? They arise only from what you know. They don't arise from what you don't know. So they can arise from the unknown. They can only arise from the known. And if you know the known, then you will be able to realize the unknown, because you will know the known. But the known can never reveal the unknown. No matter how much you know, all knowledge in the world can never reveal the known. Knowledge would only be a hindrance to the expression of the known. As long as you know what knowledge is, and see that it's binding, you will use knowledge according to its true value. But you'll not give it a value that is eternal, because it is not. It is because we make the future so important that we are willing to sacrifice the present for the future. That is what all the ideologists, all the people who build utopias are doing. They are willing to liquidate you and me for the future. All political parties, all ideologists, organized religionists dangle a hope or a fear in front of us. We pursue and are destroyed in the pursuit. Unless we can see the whole process of the desire for this inward and outward security that is driving us to destruction, we will never know the truth of the living present. We're caught up in this desire, and we're rushing here and there and hither and thither. You crave for spiritual things just as you crave for material things, it's just the same. It means craving, and craving is of the mind. Believing and disbelieving is of the mind. The tremendous and wonderful truth you arrive at, the transformation that takes place, is so revealing. It gives you more happiness than anything else in the world, anything external to the self could ever give you. Because what is external to the self, the happiness arriving from that, has a beginning and an ending. Then you're always looking for more happiness from the external. You leave one and you go for another. And on and on and on it keeps on going. Whether happiness is gone, is passed into the experience, is passed into memory. And you're caught up in the external, looking for this happiness that you are thinking you will get. It's like the carrot dangled in front of the donkey. It's always in front of him, but he never reaches it. So there is the donkey. You are the donkey with the carrot in front of you, all chasing the carrot, but you never get it. Transformation comes when you see all that is useless. Then there is a true happiness, because immediately you seek for security in the external, there is always insecurity in the internal. And if you have insecurity in the internal, in the inner, there will always be insecurity in the outer. That is true, is it not? So, when you are seeking for security in the outer, there is always insecurity. Is that not so? And it's within you that insecurity is. And if that insecurity is the inner self, you will see that creates insecurity in the outer self, and there is always a struggle. We find ourselves bound and we do not know the cause, because we look outside ourselves. Why? We struggle with thoughts that enter the mind when we wish to be quiet. These thoughts we think are foreign to our own nature, so we try to banish them. The truth is that only thoughts that are not understood rise to disturb us. These thoughts are the result of our own memories, our experience, our hopes, our fears, our beliefs, which are our own mental creation. We are the self. So we try to banish them. How can you banish the self when the self doesn't know itself? So you struggle with your thoughts. We try to banish them, but instead of getting rid of them, we further struggle with them, creating more conditioning. We become emotionally caught up in them. Our thought-feeling reactions become stronger and stronger, and we are further conditioned. Calmness doesn't come out of struggle. When struggle ends, calmness is not the result of struggle. Calmness is an eternal thing. The sea is calm. When it comes up, it causes ruffles in the sea, it causes waves. When the wind ceases, there is the calm. So is the creativeness when the mind ceases to have conflict. When the mind ceases to live in opposites, when you know what opposites are. It is necessary to become aware of the movements of the mind and understand them without struggle. Then they will dissolve away. If we are aggressive, quarrelsome, nagging, jealous, envious, selfish, egotistical, etc., we must see these false movements as they arise, not merely search in the past for the cause. So most people are searching in the past, and when all the past is now expressing itself now at this very moment. It's like a person walking backwards instead of walking forward. So they want to go forward, but they're always walking back and never reach their destination. When we see these false movements are of the self, then we'll begin to know the self. A knowledge of the self is the first step toward freedom. Then you will know the self. You'll know what the self is. That's the first thing in virtue, is to know yourself. Not just to build an idea of what you think you are, and try and hide behind that idea. That's not virtue, but that's what every passion is doing. You're virtues of the mind. But if you see yourself in your true colors, every portion of yourself, thou being afraid. But the reason why you're afraid is because you think that your thought is separate from the self, but it is not. It's one and the same. When we see what experience, what memory, what beliefs, hopes, and desires are, we will discover what is real. But this cannot be discovered by those who seek an end, for there is no end, no result. You're looking for a result. You can't have a result. If you're looking for a result, you can never be free, because your result's in the mind. The result is a mental thing, not a spiritual thing. The more you discern your own thoughts, feelings, reactions, and know what the self is, so the pass away from you and the leave you free. That is transformation. Am I going to give you an idea of God? An idea of reality? How can I give you an idea of reality when I don't know what reality is? But what everybody is trying to do is to give you an idea of reality, and you're further caught up in your conditioning. Only a renewal from moment to moment of the eternal and ever-present reality. When we come to the realization of the ever-present living creativeness, living in continuity moment to moment, the future becomes a dream of some fanciful state. So, you're always living in the future. That's what people hope to do, because they're always living in some fantasy in the future. We must have knowledge about the self before we can transform our nature. The self is the intellectual, the emotional side of our nature, and is a limitation, a hindrance to the expression of the ever-present creativeness, which is wholeness. Completeness now. We must discover what is of primary importance and have the capacity to pursue it. What I'm telling you now, you can't make an idea of. Try and you'll see. You can't make an idea of what I'm telling you. And that's the beauty of the whole thing. Because if you make an idea of it, you've lost it. There is no transformation. Ignorant of the mechanism of thought, we try to overcome one thought with another, keeping both active, which is the cause of conflict and duality. So we're moving backwards and forwards from one to the other. When we understand how our dual thoughts arise, we see that both are our own creations, being the result of experience, memory, fear, belief, ideologies, and the like. Confused thought arises only in a confused mind. So all the time, you have one thought, you try to cover it up with another thought, but the first thought is still there. You try to shake it away and say, oh no, it cannot be me. But immediately you see that the thought is you, it drops away from you. It doesn't come from any outside source. No one can understand your mind but yourself. There is no pattern to follow. The mind that is confused becomes more confused when following a pattern. For all minds are alike, yet different. All have memories, experiences, and fears, but our reactions are entirely different. No one can do this work of discerning but yourself. But you rush to this person and rush to that person to discern your thoughts. To think what you're thinking, to give you an answer to your thoughts. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life, but that is what's happening all over the world today. And it's supposed to be good, intellectual, science. It's the science of the rabbit, that's all it is. Unfortunately, most people accept suggestion as a means of understanding, but this leads to frustration. So a suggestion is given to you, a palliative. And so the suggestion hinders the expression of reality. It lasts for a while, but not for long. When there are difficulties in the mind, body and circumstances, it is no use trying to escape from them. We must face them with confidence, for this is an opportunity to use our creativeness. The Christ consciousness knows no limitation. Yet every sensation must be dealt with carefully and not ignorantly denied, otherwise it will rise up again and again in the nature. So people say, I deny it. They have it in their mind and they keep on denying the thing. Don't you see that they're denying their own thought? How can they understand the self when they deny it? Only by discerning the thought and seeing what it means, then they will know what the self is. Then they are free. There are certain cults that tell you to deny these things, and they are putting you further off than ever. That's why these people never get better. They make affirmations. They make great confessions of their wonderful results, but 10 minutes after, they're just as bad as they were before. Don't you see, it's all in the mind. What's in the mind is only a creation of self-created things. It's the self-creating. That's all it is. But that's not creativeness. The confusion of mind is outpictured in the individual and in the world. For what the inner is, so is the outer. Is it not so that we quarrel over systems, religious beliefs, ideas, which we think will give us more security, so we cultivate war, destruction, and misery, instead of getting security, we get the reverse. If we depend on a system for security, then there will be insecurity. Those who are concerned with utopian systems are only concerned with ideas and not with people. People are secondary consideration. The idea is more important. The idea of God is more important than God himself to most people. As far as God is concerned, means nothing to them. But the idea of God is a tremendous thing to them. And each and every one has a different idea of God. And so they fight because they cannot reconcile their ideas. This breeds separation and distinction and destruction. One with a fixed idea is a danger to the people, for surely the day will appear when retribution will come. So you follow another, you're led into the trap of illusion. As long as we look for security through ideals, economical, political, or through creeds and dogmas, there must be separation and discontent which brings about insecurity. Today the world is torn into different nationalities, different beliefs, different ideologies, each promising security. Now, there can never be unity through beliefs or ideas. These cannot bring people together. It is only by seeing how these things separate people will unity come. And unity, which is the true foundation of the world, is ever present now and is not created by man. If we see the things that are disuniting the people of the world, unity will come, and not before. But I hear people calling unity, unity, the world will come, that's all hooey. That's all but stupid nonsense. It will never be. All the prayers in the world will not bring it. The only thing will bring it is for the self to know the self, so that that which is hindering the expression of unity can be removed. Understanding only will bring peace and love, which is the basis upon which we must live. So that the Christ can speak the word of power from within. When this is done, there will be an unfolding of the real self that is in every other self. True awakening comes through understanding that which is false. Only then can we free ourselves. The outer is ever new from the inner. If the inner is fed on ignorance and ill will, so the outer will be likewise. Only when the inner is renewed every moment from the ever-present life that is eternal and whole, will we free ourselves from our mental and physical limitations. So we see, man is a cause of his own misery. It is well known to the observant one that the world is run by the immature. If we conceive the futility of ideas and beliefs that create division, understanding would surely come, and with understanding the enlightenment of the whole human family would bring peace and happiness individually and collectively. But what do we have? We have greed. We have nationalities, we have separation, we have all our different ideals. We come to the conference and we try to reconcile our ideals, but we cannot do so because we are conditioned by them. And if that's conditioned by an ideal is immature, because he's following an ideal and not reality. They sit around the conference table, the back of their own minds. They are looking for what they can get. All the time, we are conditioned by their craving, by their greed. And after we have the quarrels, and after we destroy part of the world, what do? We try to cure those things on the same level. We think that by destroying houses and people and clothing and all that sort of thing, that we are going to compensate them by giving them houses and clothing and food. If you do not see the futility of that, then the world will never come to that unity which we are looking to. That is a certainty. Is it not a fact that we cling to our conditioning and defend it with all our might against others who are also conditioned, and whose conditioning we think is not in accordance with our own? How can there be any solution to any human problem, individually and collectively, under the circumstances, when each individual and group is at war with the other through conditioning? If we look at ourselves and see how false all are to ourselves and others, then we would discover that something which is living moment to moment, which is not a belief, not a conditioning, but a natural livingness which we have with everyone else. Then when we find that common denominator, that same thing that unites everyone together as one whole, then we will have that which is true. The Christ that was in Jesus, that came to show man the policies of his ways, that Christ is still living. And if the Christ lived 2,000 years ago, he must still be living today, because the Christ is the Spirit of God, eternal and ever-present. And if what the Christ did 2,000 years ago, that same Christ can do today, now, at this very moment. But the only way that Christ can do it is when the heart is empty of all enmity and falseness. Then the Christ will manifest in your heart and mine and everyone else. In that way alone can peace come, not by prayer, not by these emotional reactions, not by these revivals of ignorance, but by true understanding of man himself, his own self. Cause of the trouble is man himself, but man does not know it. He always puts the blame outside himself. Therefore, the cause can never be found. Only when man sees that the cause is within himself, then can the cause be found and removed. And not to them. We perpetuate the memories of the past, and blind ourselves to the ever-present light. So we struggle with one another, with our problems, our aches, our pains, our fears, our hopes, and end in chaos. This state will continue till we see the falseness of our ways. When we wake up to the ways of the self, with its memories, its beliefs, its antagonisms, its fears, hopes, and all the distractions of the self, we will become horrified at the destruction we have created. Because we have created that destruction. We destroyed Hiroshima with an atomic bomb. We are responsible for all the carnage and misery existing today in the wars of the past and the wars that is taking on at the present. You cannot escape, any one of you, from the responsibility of this carnage, of this destruction. Not one of you. Look into your minds and you will see that the cause is there. You support the cause. When we wake up to the ways of the South, with its memories, its beliefs, its intentions, its fears, its hopes, and all the distractions of the South, we will become horrified at the destruction we have created. Not only in our own minds and bodies, but in the world at large. Not until we come horrified at the ways of the South will there ever be freedom and security, individually and collectively. When the South sees the South for what it is, will pass away. You think you're spiritual, of course, understand. You change, you go to church on Sunday, you pray. You carry your Bible under the oxygen. You wear black clothes and you do all these sort of things. You go down on your knees to pray, and in your heart, what's there? The self. When we allow the past to influence the present, then our future will be the past. That's real, isn't it? And the past has been horrible enough, well, the future will be continued. The future will be the continuity of the past. So we'll perpetuate our illusions to the destruction of ourselves. Only when we see the false will the true appear to us, and not before. Then let us live, moment to moment, living each moment in the present, free from the past or future. Otherwise we'll founder in our dogmas, creeds, beliefs, ideologies, or in philosophy, which is also a product of the mind. People read the philosophies of the past, and they come to me with this great philosophy, and I read it and I say, yes, but it's all mental, it's all of the mind. There's nothing shown there to guide you from yourself, to show what the self is. It's giving you an idea. Philosophizing on God, is it only a creating an idea? Philosophizing on God doesn't help you at all. You still remain the same passion. The same self remains, because the self has not been discerned and understood. You're even afraid of your own thoughts. You try to banish them, you try to run away from them, but you can't. The more you try to banish them, the harder they cling to you. And the more you run away from them, they run just as fast, because it's yourself. So you can't run away from yourself. You can only discern yourself. We do not create reality. We are one with reality and cannot be separated from it. For life, God, is not divided. Benediction. O mighty one, the sweetness of thy perfume in the human heart has not faded. It is the evil-smelling self that has temporarily obliterated its beauty. The ignorant self is the cause of all ill health and happiness and separation, and is lost in a world of illusion. When I awakened to this illusion, I found that thou art patiently waiting to express thyself in me, then I was free from my struggle. Only when my struggle ceased did my soul find that which I was struggling for. O ever enduring love, may thy perfume awaken the hearts of all to perceive the beauty of thy presence everywhere. O Holy One.